Chad with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And oh my goodness, it is a Sunday before spring break.
It is. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how I feel about it.
Yes.
The semester is flying by. I feel like the semesters go by quicker and quicker and quicker the older I get.
Yes. Me too. You know, if you think about this past week with the weather, you know, we were like hot last weekend, and then it went into this like rain and cold and things. So I think really just depending on the region that folks are traveling to for spring break, who knows what they're going to get.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because we're not going anywhere. We're just staying here, hanging out, probably going to do yard work and stuff. But like I was talking to some of my students, and everybody seems to be going to Orange Beach.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, really? I thought we cruise these days. I thought, like, as a student, you want to cruise or some elaborate trip. But, I mean, things are a little, there's a little tension overseas. So I feel like maybe people aren't traveling overseas as much.
You know, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. One of our student workers, her name is Anna Lee, and she is precious. And she was telling me that she and seven of her friends are renting a cabin in Gatlinburg.
That's cool.
And so they're going to do, like, the nature-y things. But she's like, we love board games. Like, you know, we're going to play all the things.
All right.
And I'm like, okay.
That's kind of fun.
I'm like, I like the innocence of those activities. Like, I don't know why. Like,
they're
not that
fun.
It was just really precious to me. It was like a very full house moment to me. And I'm like, that makes me sound so weird saying it like that.
Well,
but I just was really happy for her because she was pumped.
I like board games. I like when other things are involved in board games. Like
sure.
Certain drinks, maybe. That's kind of fun. But then I like also like Disney trivia. I like trivia games because I find that I think I'm very good at Disney trivia. And I'm very good at random trivia. And so I love those types of board games. I do not like the game of life or risk or all those, like, they take like hours to play. I like quick stuff. And then when I'm done, I'm done. I like card games too. But I think that'd be kind of a fun, like, go in the cabin in the woods and hang out with your friends and not have to go anywhere.
Yes. Are you a charades person?
Yeah. I'm into that. Well, no. What's the one where you pan them? Is that charades where you have to, like, act it out?
Yes.
I like that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide. I think when I was younger, I was not so much a charades person. And now that I'm older and I do like to, you know, be animated, whatever else. I've just not socially had an opportunity to play charades with anybody.
Well, Sheena, if you want to have a little party, we can play charades. We can do charades. But I think it's fun. I like that better than like having to draw something.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather someone say, you have to act this out. And I think I can do a pretty good job. Like the creativity part, I think I'm good at that rather than like a strategy game.
Yes.
I don't know.
One of my favorite games that I played with my family, especially my cousins, because there was a ton of us growing up. There still are. Not that they're gone. But we would play Taboo a lot, where you're trying to get your team to say a specific word, but then there's all of these words that you cannot use to describe it.
That's kind of fun.
And so you're, like, totally, like, in sync with, like, the folks on your team, and you have, like, good, like, inside jokes that could, like, get them to randomly
I kind of like that.
It
reminds me of The Office when they have the dinner party when Michael and Jan like invite everybody over.
Yes.
That's probably one of my favorite episodes of all time. And so every time like my turn, when he starts like freaking out about it, that's what I think about. But anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about this month. But maybe if you have some snacks nearby when you're playing these fun games.
Exactly.
But
I know we're going all kinds of places, but
it's spring break, that's why.
It is. And you know, the great thing about the month of March is so much stuff gets celebrated. For one, you know, we talked about Women's History Month, so we talked a lot about women's health issues, but also too, this is my month to geek out because it is National Nutrition Month.
It is.
So I'm very excited about that. And we have a guest today because that's what we got to do. You know, we got to bring the best of the best. But y'all, we got to take a quick break. So grab a snack, grab something to drink, do what you got to do. Maybe you grab a board game. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back and happy Sunday and happy first Sunday of spring break. So those of you sticking around, glad you're listening to us on a Sunday before spring break.
Yes, and maybe they are listening to us as they road trip to whatever destination they are headed to.
I need to ask our station manager or our producer, like, how far out the radio station actually extends. I would imagine maybe Tuscaloosa County, maybe into Birmingham. But anyway, I don't know. I just think it's kind of fun to think about.
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
On their way to Birmingham Airport.
I'm pretty sure you can look us up on Apple, right? Don't we have a podcast?
Yes. And I think on Audible with, like, Amazon.
Yeah.
So we have some options. Man. We're getting techie.
Very techie.
Okay. We're going to stop with, like, our random rabbit holes that I always put us on. But you guys, we have a guest today. We actually have a student guest. We love having our students with us just because they bring the energy, they bring the insight, all of the things. So I want to welcome Morgan Abercrombie, who is a graduate student in nutrition and president of the Student Dietetic Association. So Morgan, welcome.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me. I so appreciate getting to be here. It's so exciting that it's National Nutrition Month, and I just love this month so much because I love nutrition.
Well, you know, Morgan, I think, like, right from the get-go when you started talking, I'm like, okay, this girl is excited.
Yeah.
So that is...
She's good to have on the radio.
I'm definitely pumped about that. But, you know, before we get into our, you know, into the meat and potatoes of our talk today...
That is good, Sheena.
You know, I like my puns. Tell us a little bit about yourself, hometown... You know, why did you decide to major in nutrition professionally? What do you want to do? Kind of give us the deets.
Oh, yeah. So I am from the lovely state of Alabama, close to Huntsville. If you're familiar with any small towns, technically Somerville, Alabama, but I usually tell people Decatur. I was actually first a biology major in college, but then I didn't like that much. And luckily, I knew somebody who was minoring in nutrition, and that led me to, like, taking a nutrition class, and I just absolutely love the material. I'm a very, like, detail-oriented person, and so learning about, like, health and that aspect and all the, like, little minor things, I just loved it so much. And so that led me to learning more, and I love helping my friends, and so that's one thing that they've always, like, come to me for. They're like, so, Morgan, how do I eat? How do I meal plan? How do I do all this? And so taking the nutrition classes, like, allowed me to do that and then also help more people on a professional level.
Absolutely.
Wow. So I'm in fitness, Morgan. And, you know, fitness, we try to keep our distance a little, you know, from the nutrition side of, like, giving out information and staying within our scope of practice. So I always like talking about nutrition because it's just something that I feel like I personally, for myself, know a good bit about, but I usually don't tell people. So thank you for being on our show because I like to ask questions. I'm curious. What's your favorite food? Or your favorite meal?
I love pasta, but my favorite meal in general is breakfast. Like brunch foods.
Okay.
Love those.
So what do you like to make? Like, if you were going to make your brunch or make brunch for somebody, would you go out or would you make it yourself?
I would make it myself. So I would get, like, a fancy sourdough bread.
Ooh.
And I would toast it. I like to put it, like, on the stove and toast in some olive oil just like in a pan.
Yes.
And then I'll, like, make some avocado and mash that up. And then I'll scramble an egg and put some, like, goat cheese and red pepper flakes and a little drizzle of honey, which may sound weird, but
no,
it tastes so good.
With goat cheese, it's really good.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some, like, fancy coffee. I actually make homemade lavender syrup, which is, like, really out there, I feel like.
No, I think that sounds awesome.
So I'll make, like, a little cold brew latte type situation.
Oh, my word.
You're fancy.
We need to come over.
Yeah, come over anytime. Hang out with me.
Make breakfast or brunch and then have a board game. That would be fun.
Always.
I really love talking about food. I just can't. I mean, I can't lie. Like, I love, and I know this is going to be our topic for most of our conversation, obviously, today. But, like, I love asking people what they like to eat because it kind of shows a little bit about your personality and who you are. Because those are some very chefy things. Would you ever go to chef school or, like, culinary school?
I thought about it at one point. I don't know that I would go back to school at this point because, you know, I'm in grad school. So it seems a lot to extend my education. Mm-hmm. But, you know, eventually I love, like, trying new recipes and finding people on YouTube and TikTok and just learning how to cook in different methods.
Sure. Well, you know, I think one of the things that we had on the list to ask you about today was hobbies. And it sounds like being in the kitchen is something that you enjoy. Are there other types of things that you like to make? And what other hobbies do you enjoy doing?
So I do love being in the kitchen. And some other things I like to make, I have a big sweet tooth. So I love making scones and like cookies.
What's your favorite scone to make?
I really like making cherry scones.
Interesting.
And then doing like a little bit of a lemon glaze.
Put a little amaretto in there, get a little extra C.
Oh, man.
And then chocolate cherry sometimes.
Oh, oof. Dark chocolate.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. Oh, my Lanta, y'all.
Making us happening. Hungry.
I know. I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I mean, I guess we could have like an afternoon tea.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I love tea too, so I have plenty of that. I love making like different rice dishes because rice is just great.
Very versatile.
Something I made this week was like Korean-inspired meatball, so they have ginger.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shut up. You are, like, in your element right now.
Shut up.
I'll send you my recipes. Okay. Don't worry. So, like, ginger and green onion, and just, nice. It was very good, and bulgogi sauce. So.
We'll send it you with your Korean barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Now, do you do that with, what's your favorite rice? Do you like a jasmine rice? Mm.
Yes.
So fragrant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just so light. Mm-hmm. And I try cooking brown rice, but I just never can cook it right.
Let's be real. Brown rice, come on, people. You gotta go, like, white rice. I know it's probably healthier that way, glycemic index type of talk and all that kind of business, I'm guessing, but, like, ooh, white rice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get my whole grain some other way. Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm hungry now.
I know.
So there's that. But also, Morgan, too, when we introduced you, we indicated that you are president of the Student Dietetic Association. So tell us a little bit about that student org and what your responsibilities are as president.
Yeah, so the Student Dietetic Association was made specifically for dietetic students, so people in the food and nutrition major and those looking to become dietitians in the future. And we also now have some people that are nutrition minors, so we like welcome anybody that's interested in nutrition and how that interplays with different health roles. So kind of my job as president is to find different guest speakers. Mm-hmm. And so I'll reach out to like alumni and registered dietitians that I know and be like, hey, would you come and speak to our organization about like what you do in the field of dietetics? And something before I was even in this role, I really wanted to like expand what we did as an organization. And I think we've worked on that this semester. So we've done some like volunteer days. So we partnered with West Alabama Food Bank. Mm. And we've also done like a research fair for people in the major just to like expose people to all the different areas of nutrition. Mm-hmm. And that's like my main goal is to like get people excited about nutrition. There's so much more that you can do with it than you even would think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
I kind of think, you know, all this talk about food and like how excited we get about talking about different things to eat. I mean, you're right. Nutrition is, it's so cool because you can look at healthy things, healthy combinations, maybe even things you never tried before, and just create this well-rounded plate. And so this is great. I mean, we're gonna have a great show today.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm totally geeking out right now. I feel like it's probably time for a break. So we'll do that. We'll take a quick break. We're gonna continue this conversation. But you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and we're talking about food, which I love to talk about, love to eat, love to watch it on TV. Do you find yourself watching a lot of YouTube about food?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
at night in bed. I know you're technically not supposed to have screen time.
Yeah, but I mean, it can also relax you sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just find that maybe I could share some YouTube channels with you. I like a lot of Asian-inspired food.
Yes.
It's kind of my favorite, so I'm always like, I know Sheena, I'm like always asking you stuff about Filipino food, and just in general, that's kind of my favorite style of food, so I watch a lot of YouTube. But anyway, I think we should get back on track. I could talk about YouTube and that kind of stuff all day long, but you know, Morgan, I'm kind of curious, why does eating healthy feel so complicated for most college students these days? You have a very good grasp on food. You're excited about it, but I think it's kind of hard in general. But like, what do you think is complicated about it?
Oh yeah, so most of my friends that do not get as excited about nutrition as I do, they've told me before that it's a lack of time. So that seems to be like the most like cited reason that most of my friends at least say, and I'm pretty sure is a general for most college students, because you're like going to class, you're trying to hang out with friends, and it's easier to go and, you know, pick up something rather than take time to cook in the kitchen. And sometimes you don't have access to a kitchen, especially when you're living like in the dorms or in a sorority house. So definitely time. And then I would say, too, there's so much misinformation out there, mm-hmm. especially, like, on TikTok where everybody can sure. claim to be a nutrition professional because, you know, anybody can call themselves a nutritionist.
That's
but
true.
They're not necessarily finding those channels with, like, registered dietitians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think, too, just in my work over the years, I've noticed, I think as a society and culture in general, we're very much go big or go home. We're very like black and white thinking when mm-hmm. it comes to healthy food. And I've started incorporating some information in my career presentations where we talk about all of the different determinants of food choices. So basically, as straightforward as the question, like, what do you want for dinner tonight or what am I going to eat later today? Like, that should be pretty straightforward. Yeah. But there's so many, like, there's like so many tens of hundreds of like sub like decisions that we yeah. have to make, like, what do I have in the pantry? Do I have mm-hmm. the skills to do that? Oh my gosh, I live in the residence hall. I don't mm-hmm. have access to the kitchen. Like, oh, what did that dietitian tell me about like foods that are high in, you know, mm-hmm. omega-3 fatty acids? So there's like all these different things. And I think that because food shouldn't seem complicated, we get really upset with ourselves when it's like, oh my gosh, like, I know this information. Like, why can't I make it happen? Because mm-hmm. I'll have clients that'll sit in the office and they'll say, I know what to do, but for whatever reason, like, I'm here because I'm not doing it, like, and I need you to play detective with me. So yeah.
Are air fryers okay to have in the residence halls? Are you allowed to have an air fryer?
I know that they exist in the residence hall. I will not speak as a spokesperson on behalf of housing to say that they are like a regulated item. Mm-hmm. However, I've interestingly enough, I have spoken with students who have had them individually in their rooms, and there's been some that I've seen in some of the residence halls in the community kitchen area.
Okay.
Where they've had one in that area, too.
I really find that, I mean, I feel like you can cook anything in an air fryer these days. And so that's kind of my go-to. And I don't really understand how an air fryer works. I know it's not frying the food, but it's almost like a little oven, I guess, that you're just cooking it, like, quickly. But, I mean, for me, I know, you know, being a vegetarian, eating vegetables, all this kind of stuff, it's like, sometimes it's like, let me just pop my Brussels sprouts in the air fryer real quick. Mm-hmm. Let me pop some broccoli in the air fryer. And so I was just kind of wondering if that was available to students, if it's okay, off the record, I don't know. But that to me would seem like a quick and easy way. And they make small ones that, like, if you needed to prepare a meal and warm up some vegetables, if you didn't want to eat them raw, you could pop them in there to give them a little flavor.
I feel like it's the microwave of the future.
I think so, too.
I agree.
I'm sure it's safer.
Yeah, like, texture, like, it gives a better, like, mouthfeel, like, all the things. And now, Morgan, you know, when we think about healthy eating, what kind of misconceptions do you think people mm-hmm. have when they hear the phrase, like, oh, I'm going to start eating healthy?
Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned this earlier, how a lot of students have, like, black and white thinking. So it's kind of all or none, where they think, okay, if I'm going to eat healthy, I have to cut out everything I enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I have to eat, like, chicken and vegetables, and that's it.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. like, I have to cut out carbs because they're unhealthy mm-hmm. and they're bad. And so I just think, like, rather than thinking like that, it's better to have more of a balanced mindset. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to cut out your favorite foods. You can still eat those while also, like, including more fruits and vegetables and having that healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always feel like, and I don't know if this is just lately, but, like, if I know I'm going to eat something that has, like, a higher fat content, like pizza or something like that, I like, crave a green. I crave a salad. Mm-hmm. I always will put, like, I always have to have, like, something green. It's, like, this weird thing. It's either, like, broccoli or a salad. It's, like, I've got to have something green to balance it out. And so I wonder if, like, if people would be more open to, instead of changing the entire meal, just being like, let me just add this little, I like broccoli. Let me add that in there.
I think so. And, you know, I think that sometimes it can be easy to think that somebody has this thought process of, oh, because I had pizza, I quote-unquote feel guilty about it, I need a vegetable. But honestly, what science tells us, too, is that, like, when we think about our cravings, it's not just that our body wants a new, like, flavor or mouthfeel, but the fact that our body intrinsically knows that that new flavor profile is going to have a completely separate set of nutrients, too. So it's like, okay, I'm getting X, Y, and Z from the pizza, but I also need da-da-da-da-da. So when I've talked to students before about cravings, and sometimes when we hear the word craving, we connotate it as something negative. But
yeah.
I'm like, y'all, listen, if you have been on a road trip for 5 days, like, at the end of that road trip, what kind of stuff do you actually, like, crave? And they'll say, like, I crave, like, more fresh food, like fruits or vegetables or something that's, like, cold, because on the road we were eating a lot of, like, salty convenience food. So it's like they could feel
fast
their body
food,
doing that. And it's like, our body just knows. It's not this, like, moral whole value of food. It's just like the body's like, dude, I'm burning out. I need some new, different nutrients.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I have experienced that myself. So you kind of talked a little bit about social media and just, you know, when someone's looking at TikTok or Instagram, I don't know, I don't have any of it because I refuse. But like when you're looking at that, I mean, I feel like the information given out could be super helpful sometimes, but then also I feel like it can be detrimental. So like when your friends come to you and they're showing you this stuff or asking you questions, like how do you talk to them about that? Like the differences of like what you should be doing or not doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do agree that like TikTok can be a great resource for finding like different recipes and different maybe meals that you would never have thought of trying before. But sometimes, you know, there is that like person that's like, oh, well, I'm going on a juice cleanse and it made me feel so refreshed and it detoxed my liver. And that's, your liver doesn't need detoxing because your body already does that on its own. And so if I have a friend that would come to me and like ask me about that, what I would do is be like, okay, so who is this person that's, you know, what account is giving this information?
Is it Kim Kardashian?
Is it Kim Kardashian?
Oh, yes. She's like one of our red flag celebrities, yes.
If you hear Kardashian in anything, you just need to steer clear.
How good is it to smell it? But I would be like, okay, so look at this account. Do they look like somebody that, you know, is a nutrition professional? Like, do they have the education to back the advice they're giving? And if not, you know, maybe take it with a grain of salt and try to see some accounts that do have that, like, nutrition education or at least, like, promote a more well-rounded look at food.
I love that you mentioned that because, you know, when I was getting ready for today's show and thinking about National Nutrition Month, and of course, you know, we have to like put in some random facts about there. You know, National Nutrition Month was first celebrated in the 1970s, I think in 1973. And at that point in time, it was only a week and then expanded the whole month. But really the purpose of the week was not only to provide nutrition education to the public, but also to promote the dietetics profession. So I think that March, to me, I always use it as like free reign of like, I'm going to be in somebody's face and be like, do you know what a registered dietitian does?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I try to hold back from that like through the rest of the year so I'm not super annoying. But I think just in terms of like public service, like what, so somebody knows as like consumer protection standpoint, like for them as a consumer getting nutrition information, what is going to be your most evidence-based source?
That's a good point. This is your month to shout it out, Sheena, because I'm not going to lie. People get that very confused. And just normal people walking in the street, if you're like, what's the difference between a nutritionist and a registered dietitian? They really wouldn't know. And so I think that is important. But I think it's time for a break.
It is. You guys, grab a snack. You're probably getting hungry. Grab something to drink. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. We're talking about food on Fit to Be Tied, and I really like food and thinking about it and talking about it, and so I really like celebrating National Nutrition Month, and I feel like, Sheena, this is kind of your month, as we just left on that other side of the break, that the difference between a registered dietitian nutritionist is you guys have passed the end-all be-all. You guys are, is it board certified, or how does that work?
Yes, there is a certification exam in the same way that other health professionals, like you have like a nurse that's taking their boards, things of that nature. And the thing that's actually tricky with the terminology of registered dietitian or registered dietitian nutritionist or just nutritionist is that I'll speak specifically for the state of Alabama with our licensure. Only registered dietitians can use the word nutritionist. So in other states, that term may not always be protected.
I see.
So it really just depends on the state law. I think the easiest thing for a consumer to do, regardless of where they are, is to look for that registered dietitian credential. So you might be on a blogger's website or whatever else, and they may, to the public, call themselves a nutritionist. But if you're looking at their background information in their About Me section, most are going to be very intentional about saying, I am a registered dietitian, because they know that that's kind of that consumer stamp of approval of like, hey. And sometimes too, when folks say like, well, hey, what's the difference between you and my friend Susie who sells these supplements and, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, so say if someone you knew had cancer and you wanted to make sure that you know, that you with cancer you are getting like the right nutrition program, mm-hmm. whatever else, the registered dietitian is going to be the entity that can legally actually get lab work with your physician. Like, they're going to have that clinical relationship, whereas I seriously doubt that your oncologist mm-hmm. is going to be faxing over your labs right. to Susie who sells XYZ,
yeah.
and she's going to be able to interpret all of these lab values and the clinical complications.
Because Susie took a test online and made her a nutritionist. And, you know, it's interesting. I think back to a story. My grandmother was like, this was like 10 years ago or something. She wanted to lose weight. She's always been like just, I mean, a Southern lady who mm-hmm. cooks really well, you know. And so she was wanting to lose weight. And I remember she went to see a nutritionist, not a registered dietitian, and they basically were putting her on a keto diet. And so I was kind of like, and see, at the time, we didn't really, it was kind of newer, and so we didn't really know a lot about it. But I knew enough about ketosis myself, and I remember when she was explaining to me about, like, yeah, my body will then go into ketosis. And I was like, you do know what that is, right? And so when we started talking about it, she was like, well, but the nutritionist. And I said, well, are they a registered dietitian? And she was like, well, I don't know, but they're a nutritionist. And I thought, okay, right then and there was a perfect example of my sweet little grandmother not really knowing any information mm-hmm. and going and having this person tell her, you need to be on a keto diet. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, first of all, that's not fun at all, because then you can't eat your carbs that you want to eat.
Yeah.
But it was just an interesting, like, revelation that you got to make sure you know the background on somebody. And anyway, that's our spiel for that.
No, I mean, respect. I think that's true.
Yeah. Respect the registered dietitian.
Diet culture is like so strong and so pervasive. I mean, the fact that it is powerful enough to convince people that fruit is unhealthy.
Right?
You know, what the
that kills
ish,
me.
Man?
Because, like, okay, let's talk for a minute. The banana, I feel like, is a controversial piece of fruit.
I mean, I remember Chiquita banana commercials from like the 90s where you had like 77-year-old senior citizen swimming laps in the Olympic pool. And it's like, I mean, if you talk to any sports dietitian at any reputable program, bananas are like one of the number one like recovery
right.
pre-workout.
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I've heard so many bad things. Don't eat bananas. I'm like, I mean, I don't really like bananas anyway, but I'm like, but why? I mean, like,
it's
maybe
white.
Don't eat the whole
thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
it's white.
White.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I know.
Well, you recommend cauliflower, and cauliflower is white.
That's true.
So,
that's
I mean,
very
what's
true.
Happening?
Yeah.
So, okay, with National Nutrition Month, the theme this year is celebrate a world of flavors.
Yes.
Super excited about that. It sounds like all of us at the table like to have some international flair. So, yeah. Morgan, you talked about this a little bit just in terms of the meatballs that you recently made. What is your favorite genre of food? Aside from brunch food, but like if we're thinking like some international flavors, what's your favorite international flavor profile?
I would definitely agree with Whitney and say Asian.
Do you have a specific like Asian category or just in general Asian flavors?
Probably in general. Like I love a little bit of Indian sometimes, sometimes like Korean, sometimes more Japanese and Chinese. So I really like dabble wherever
nice.
I just feel like I want that day.
Yeah.
Sheena,
yeah.
I'm curious. I don't think I've ever had Filipino food, but we don't have a Filipino restaurant close,
we
do we?
We used to, and
really?
We don't anymore. This was probably around the time we were in undergrad and like before, so it's been forever.
Yeah.
And there are some restaurants in the Birmingham area that will serve some Filipino dishes, but not exclusively a Filipino restaurant. Actually, I think one of the food stalls at the Pizzitz Food Hall.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's
cool. They have a couple of Filipino dishes. But what's really cool about the Philippines, if y'all didn't know this, is that it is sometimes considered the melting pot of Asia, just because there's culturally a lot of influence there. And depending on the region that you're at, you can tell how food has been influenced. So there's a lot of what I would call just Oriental influence, like with China. But then also with the Spanish colonization of the Philippines forever ago, there's that mix of basically like Spanish influence and an Asian influence. And so just like the weird meld of flavors is really cool. So
that
I just think
is
that's
cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think Filipino food is probably one I would like to try and I haven't had a chance to. Mofongo, is that something? No, that's South American.
I think so.
I don't know why that popped out. No, that's from a different country. Anyway, I watch
TV. Well, you know, and I texted you earlier this week about some noodles. I need to bring you those, but then there's also a specific Filipino flavor as well.
Okay.
So I need to bring it to you.
How do you feel about ramen noodles, Morgan?
I like ramen noodles. Usually
the sodium content's a little high.
Yeah.
But we can go half package.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like to add a little extra stuff to my noodles. Mm-hmm. So usually what I'll do is I'll, you know, do that half package and then maybe I'll add like a dash of soy sauce.
Yeah.
And then I'll like do some green onion on top and like a boiled egg and just kind of whatever vegetables I have in my fridge. Sometimes that's green beans, sometimes that's bell peppers. You know, whatever I have.
Anything, really.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms. I always keep a block of extra firm tofu because I like tofu. Mm-hmm. And I'll just eat, it sounds so gross. Like, I'll just eat tofu by itself because I like the texture of it and anything. But I'll cut that up, put it in my noodles. Kim or seaweed. Kim is what the Koreans call it. But Kim is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll speak to this side of it. My family's Italian. You wouldn't know with my coloring. I'm super pale and light hair or whatever. But my family's Italian, so I always grew up having like really heavy Italian lasagnas and meats and stuff like that. Of course, I'm a vegetarian now, which is really funny. But and the way the sauce was always prepared was it was cooked for like 2 to 3 days. It was just a very long process of like it had to create this richness. And we would always order cheese from Italy or from New York, just from this place that we get it from, these huge blocks of like really aged Parmesan and
just
Romano.
Fancy.
Yeah, and like we get it for Christmas and stuff and like Italian chocolates that like just, you know, that kind of stuff. Which is funny because Italian food is not even really my favorite kind of food. But anyway, you know.
No, I love my Asian flavors, but like, honestly, I'm down with some Mexican.
Are you?
Like, whatever, like, obviously, like, very Americanized Mexican we have here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But I don't know, just like the flavors in general. Mm-hmm.
It's very, Mexican food is very flavorful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I love Mexican food too.
I love just beans in general as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
your
you can
legumes.
Add beans to my legumes. for their whole grainness.
yes.
They're just so good in like every Mexican dish. So I can chow down on some enchiladas any day.
Y'all are getting me so hungry.
No, it's lunchtime almost.
I will say, though, because I know we're about to have to end this segment, and Morgan, we actually would love to have you on for our last segment in just a little bit, but I went to visit my parents last weekend, and it was funny because my dad will watch all of these different YouTube shows of these, like, food bloggers and, like, all
this
stuff.
Who does he
watch? It's some guy named Jimmy something. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's Asian American.
Okay.
Goes to all these different places. And so there's apparently this buffet that is in the Philippines. It's like an international buffet. And it's supposed to be like the world's like best buffet of flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was doing like a tour of it. And so you had like all of these chefs that were like legit, like cooking everything fresh for
That's
you.
So
like
cool.
Just the most amazing things. And then there was like this whole section, like literally like 1,000 square feet dedicated to just like the Asian side of things, and then there was like an Italian side of the house, and I was like, oh my lanta,
I would go there.
Oh yeah, my husband was like, I will pay like whatever it costs in a plane ticket just to go to that. Like,
I'm telling
that
you,
will be
food is where it's at.
Can I come with?
Together.
Yes, we're
absolutely.
Planning it. Absolutely. Okay, we're gonna stop, y'all. We got to take a break. You're gonna catch us on the flip side. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 Boston.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everybody. We are closing out a wonderful show about food. I think every show should be about food. Exercise is not fun. Let's talk about food.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
You know, I love me some movement, but I do like to eat.
Oh,
so.
Man. Food brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
I love, I don't know if y'all feel this way, but like, of course, because you learn a lot about somebody's culture based on the food, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot to food. You can learn about a person, their personality. When y'all eat a meal, I'm just curious, and then we're going to ask you the question we always ask our guests because we need to do that, but when y'all eat a meal, do y'all kind of like to have like everything like on one plate together and you kind of eat around the plate, or you kind of mix all together? Like, what is your strategy for eating? Morgan, I'll start with you.
So it definitely depends on the food, mm-hmm. but like in general, if I have like a side and like a main thing, I like to eat it like one thing at a time. I
okay.
do not like to mix.
Okay.
But if I'm eating a burrito bowl, then I like to mix that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, if I do have it on one plate, I used to not like my foods to touch.
Uh-huh.
I was very like adamant
See,
about that.
That's the thing with people that I've noticed that they eat like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and when I was a kid, I would not use the same fork whenever we had, like, Thanksgiving dinner. I would not use the same fork for, like, my meat as my mashed potatoes or, like, you know, green beans. I was very specific.
Yeah.
But now I definitely am more lax about that.
Yeah,
but I still
liberated.
Do, like, one at a time usually. Or sometimes I'll mix if I'm feeling a little spicy, but...
Yeah.
Usually, you know, I go around the plate and enjoy.
I think there's a theme with that.
I ping pong around.
You do?
Like, yeah, I do. Yeah. So I'm usually not, like, completely finished with something by the time I go to something mm-hmm. else on my plate.
I would say I ping pong around. I don't mix, but I like to have a lot of things. I don't like having one meal, which is one thing. Like a steak and potatoes is the weirdest idea to me. I'm like, I need this, 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 this. I also, for about, I'd say 85% of the time, eat with chopsticks.
Really?
Okay. Like choose to eat with chopsticks. Like, prefer that over a fork. Wow. It's just, I don't know, I'm more comfortable. Anyway.
Okay.
All right. So, I need to move to the Philippines, apparently. Do you eat chopsticks in the Philippines?
They do. Oh, and they use their bare hands.
They use, like, Indian food, like, yes. And, like, Ethiopian. Okay.
Yes, yes,
cool.
Yes, yes.
That I could get down with.
Yes.
Okay,
using
Morgan.
Using some naan, yes. And picking up.
We're going to close out the show soon, but we do have a question for you.
Okay.
We always ask our guests this,
yes,
and
do.
I think it's important because we like to know, how do you practice self-care?
Like, what does that look like for
yeah.
you?
So for me, that definitely looks like taking time to actually cook myself a meal, because mm-hmm. that is one of the hobbies that I actually enjoy. And usually mm-hmm. when I'm stressed, I don't actually want to spend time doing it, mm-hmm. but I know that if I just make it and, like, sit down and enjoy a meal, that'll make me feel 100 times better mm-hmm. versus, you know, like, heating up something that I have, like, in the freezer mm-hmm. or, you know, throwing something together. Mm-hmm. I also really enjoy taking walks around my apartment complex, mm-hmm. So just, like, getting outside even for 5 minutes. And making sure that I definitely go to bed before 11.
That is perfect, because you are a busy graduate student. And so I think, you know, when we think about the population of folks on campus that really need to, like, practice mm-hmm. that self-care or find it in the most unique ways, we love, you know, getting that real life advice. And we're just so grateful that you are with us this afternoon. Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you for having me. I have so enjoyed getting to spend the time with y'all and talk about food, because how awesome is it to discuss one of my favorite things?
Hey, absolutely.
Right on.
Yes. Well, you guys, enjoy your spring break this week. We will be with you again soon. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.